Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 490 with the fantastic Danielle Perez. She is a comedian, actor, writer, all around, a very, very funny, very cool woman. I've been wanting to podcast her for quite some time, and we were able to connect and get this episode on the books. I don't know what that means in this scenario, but I'm so glad we made it happen. I know you're going to enjoy this episode. I hope everybody's doing well, enjoying fall. Maybe even looking forward to a little Halloween action. I don't know, but if you are, have a great one. And I can't promise I won't wish you the same thing next week. Let's talk about your nails. Look at those beautiful pointy tips. I mean, I can't do anything with with acrylics on. Or are they still called acrylics?
They're gel extensions.
Gel extensions, of course. Yes.
Gel extensions.
Yes.
No formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
love that.
Yeah. And also, why? Why are we using formaldehyde in anything involving stuff that goes on our hands?
I mean, I used to get Brazilian blowouts. Formaldehyde, a key component of that as well.
Okay. I mean, listen, it preserves.
It preserves
the skin, so maybe we should be bathing in formaldehyde. What do I know?
I mean, I feel like maybe that's J-Lo's secret. It's not the blood of virgins. It's just formaldehyde.
It may be.
Flammarin formaldehyde.
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. Sure, it has a weird smell, I hear. I mean, I also don't know if I'd be able to identify formaldehyde. I feel like I can identify a chemical type smell when I open up certain chemicals, but I don't know that I would be able to identify immediately like, formaldehyde. Yep.
You know? I don't know.
Okay, so let's get back to your gel tips for a second.
Yes.
I was doing a show and they put some on me for the show, and within the first bathroom trip of many, because I constantly have to pee, I could not. I popped three
off.
Pulling Spanx away and like all of that stuff. Then I washed my hands and one just kind of clumped off into the water, which felt gross immediately. Like it's like that thing where if it's on you, it's not gross, and as soon as it leaves your body, like hair, you're like, oh, I'm gross, I guess.
Did they do the stickers or did they glue it on?
It must have been stickers, right? It was probably stickers.
The stickers are, the way they come off is like chunky and funky.
Uh-huh.
And like, I don't know how you get that sticker stuff. Like the stickers are very confusing to me.
Okay. So this is a type of glue that they then, do you go back to them to get it removed? Or is it a glue that comes off if you use acetate?
No.
You know, this is a nail polish podcast, a nail gel and extension podcast that I do, right?
And I should, and I should actually know more because I did like buy the stickers because like I have a bunch of press-on nails. Mm-hmm. So these, like the gel extensions, I get done at the salon.
Okay.
And like they are, I've never had them pop off ever.
Okay. All
right. And the reason I get the gel extension is because of my wheelchair, you know, with the spokes and stuff like that.
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
You know, I can't just go running, chasing off of a popped off nail
Absolutely cannot. Absolutely cannot. Well, good on you for figuring out that you are a person who needs the glue, because I now know that. You have like shown me that.
Yeah.
I basically, if someone wants to put them on me, I'm going to have to be like, you don't know what you're asking. We need to get serious about this.
We need the glue. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, I know like drag queens will use actual like, what is the super glue?
Yeah.
Or yeah. Like some queens will do the super glue. Yeah. But I mean, like that's commitment again.
That's a huge commitment. Although drag queens, nothing if not committing to a
100,
fabulous
they
look
are committed
that takes
to,
a
yeah.
lot of time.
Yeah, that's like the thing about drag queens is like, man, you guys like really are doing it all. And I'm just like, I don't want to put on foundation, let alone lashes.
1,000%.
Let alone contour my tits.
I want to have.
Oh my God.
I'm realizing right now as you say that I would like to have the relationship. I'm not saying that there aren't a million queens who are like, oh, honey, this is the process. Like, I don't love it anymore. Maybe I loved it when I started, but now I just have to, that's the point A to Z, like all the stuff in between I have to just do. But I would love to have the relationship to makeup that felt joyful or that felt like the result is going to be fabulous. I'm going to work this for every inch that it's worth versus like, how quickly can I slam this on, you know, and make sure I don't have mustard on my shirt before I have to be somewhere. Because that's,
I think,
I'm,
like,
I'm
yeah,
like, boop, boop,
because
boop, boop,
that's
let's
the
do
thing.
This.
I do love makeup and I do love like having fun with it and playing with it and stuff like that. But I think that most of the time, like when I'm wearing makeup, it's like I have to look presentable. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, I need to look like a person. So it's not like fun makeup, you know, it's like I'm just rushing through the process so that I can look like a woman or something.
Let's do the pandemic makeup check-in. Also something I've just invented. How often, because I feel like I still always had to be on talking to someone, and it was someone that I felt like I should be wearing makeup with, or it was like doing a little video for this and that. And so I don't feel like I spent that much. I mean, considering the pandemic as the pandemic, I would have thought that I've spent less time putting on makeup. What was your experience? Did you feel like you also were like, God, I'm still putting on makeup for Zoom?
Yeah, no, for sure. Putting on makeup for Zoom, like for meetings, for generals. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, oh my God, I like something happened in the pandemic. And it was just like, all of a sudden I just started doing all these podcasts that no one told me were video podcasts.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah. No.
And so I'm showing up to the podcast, like, you know, looking like a little garbage troll. And
hardly.
They're like, we're recording. And I'm like, you cannot. Like, like absolutely. No. Like, look at me.
That
no.
That needs to be in
also,
the subject
you need to
line
tell me.
And the top of the email. 100%. No.
Yeah. So I was just like, that was a very, like, frustrating situation in the, yeah. So it's like, yeah, people wanting you to do their podcast and neglecting to tell you that it's a video situation.
Yes, yes.
It's like, that's going to be a makeup. We're putting on makeup for that.
Yeah. Are you, you're not still doing your podcast that you started
with Madison. Wow. Rude. Yeah. Now we're taking a little break.
Got it.
We are trying to find a network studio.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you know one that would be interested in
us,
oh
my God, I feel like
know.
every network would be interested.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for sure. Like, that's okay. We can chat about this offline.
Oh,
but
for
like,
sure.
I mean, I don't know who you've already talked to, but like, I mean, I can't imagine, like, I feel like you'd be super happy on Maximum Fun, I would hope. Like, that's a very friendly
fun.
And fun network. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have this conversation. That's exciting. And how much have you been going out and doing shows and stuff since things kind of opened up? I guess they've opened up for everyone at a different pace and, like, in sort of a, and then closed back up and then opened back up.
Yeah. I feel like, I guess maybe, like, you know, after... I would say maybe like after like that last surge in in like December, you know, January, that was that was very scary. But like kind of after that, I feel like things are like, okay, we're open. We have the third booster or you know, the third dose.
Yeah.
So, okay, we can come out now. And so definitely, you know, performing and out there. It's an interesting thing because like, I feel like my comedy is, it's not like just straight observational in the sense of like, I'm going to talk about like plants or something. Do you know what I mean? What's the deal with
Why
plants?
Why are you talking about plants?
Yeah, but it's more about like, you know, kind of like my relationship to things in the world and like how it, you know, like just situations I get in and stuff. So it's like, okay, I've been like literally living at home in a box for 2 years and audiences honestly don't want to hear about the pandemic.
Right.
They are there to
escape.
Though
that's what I'm talking about right now.
No, truly, I know. And it's like, I feel like it's like, how can you not talk about that? Because hello, we just went through that. But like audiences are, they are just like, I am here to escape. That.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, I, you know, I'll do shows and stuff like that. I'm not like being super aggressive with my bookings, you know, because I'm just trying to figure out, I'm like, what do I want to talk about? What's maybe I can live life now, you know?
And, for sure.
And have that kind of, be, you know, it's, I'm glad shows are back, but also it's like stuff is still kind of weird in LA. A lot of venues are gone. A lot of venues are kind of figuring out what they're doing. And so it's like stand-up's not going to go away.
For sure.
I love doing stand-up, but I'm just, you know, just figuring out what is fun about stand-up again, you know?
Which, by the way, couldn't sound like a better or more healthy choice in terms of like how we've come to understand ourselves through this thing I'm not supposed to be talking about, but continue to talk about.
Yeah.
That's
like part of it too. Yeah. Is like, I realized in the pandemic, like, oh, I have anxiety, like to a point where like I need medication, and I was managing it through stand up and performing.
Girl,
and
I feel it. I feel you.
Ooh, it was, you know, because I was like, any show, anytime, anywhere, you know, 3 shows a night in LA, like, it's crazy, like, in LA.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, truly burning the candle at both ends. And I felt very much like I knew, like, in my heart, like, I was exhausted and I wanted to, like, slow down. But I very much felt like I was on that, like, not a carousel, but you know that thing where you, like, run and you jump on it and it spins rounds and rounds.
Yeah.
And, like, if you stop, like, that's it. Like, you can't get that momentum back.
Yeah.
You know, if you jump off it, like,
yeah, absolutely.
You're quitting.
Which
or something.
It's like very LA, too. It's not just comedy. It's that feeling of, like, the pressure of, you got to act on this right now, because right now the spotlight's on you. And if you blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And,
it's
like, you'll have time to take care of yourself
back.
Later.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Which, yeah,
which
doesn't
is
necessarily.
It's a lie. I mean, there's some, you know, it's the kind of thing of like, I truly thought like the, you know, the Game of Thrones where she's like, your whole world has turned to ash, you know, everything you've worked for has been destroyed kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, you know, I can write, I can act. I booked during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, I got to write on a cool show in the pandemic. Like, it's like, okay, I'm actually coming out of this in a way better place than I entered. I made 100%. Progress.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like a healthier person.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Let me ask you this. Okay, first of all, let me just, for anybody who doesn't already know this, Danielle sort of became extremely famous extremely quickly for a very specific appearance on a very specific beloved show, The Price is Right. You've had to tell the story a million times. I kind of just want people to like look it up so that we're not going into it. But the reason I ask is that like so many of your stories and so much of your fame surrounds like the moment when you were in the accident with the streetcar, which I'm sure everyone, including me, who's ever lived in San Francisco is like, we've all thought that was going to happen. It actually fucking happened to you. I've totally been in a position where I was like, this is about to happen to me. So fuck that. But also, like, how much performing of any kind were you doing before you started doing stand-up? Because everything is kind of told in this story that is self-contained, right? Around you being in San Francisco and going to SF State. But I don't feel like I have a super strong sense, and this is one of the reasons I was excited to get to know you better, of like the you before, like how much you were into the arts and performing and not having it be like, it's about an outlet for this thing that, you know, you went through. You
know
what I mean?
There's definitely the like, I do think that is interesting. There was an article that like came out recently that like, I did an interview before, but I didn't know that was going to be the framing, but then it was like how they're using stand-up to heal, and it's like, okay,
like this is becoming a short film I would make making fun of it instead of the actual thing that's happening right now.
Like, I do stand-up to make people laugh for sure, obviously.
Yes.
I enjoy it, but
yeah,
you know, that can be part of it, but it's like, I don't know if that's my narrative.
Nor does it need to be.
So I had always been like, you know, like a theater girl, musical theater girl, like in.
Okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
And I suspected, but I just didn't have the data, the hard data.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I did, you know, ballet and tap and jazz and like took voice lessons like when I was like in high school and stuff. And like I always really loved performing. And like, even though I didn't go to like, you know, arts high school or arts like elementary school, like I think part of it too is just, you know, in television and film, there were just not people that really looked like me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I remember we had like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Martin, and like Living Single.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, not even until I'm an adult did I realize, you know, Carlton is Afro-Latino. It's like, we didn't even have like the word Afro-Latino, you know, it's like, I'm Dominican. And so it's like, are you Black? Are you Mexican? What's going on there? So even though I was just, you know, very like interested in like theater and like audition for the plays, it's like, I think there was still this like kind of idea. It's like, well, the lead or the ingenue looks a certain way and she doesn't look like, you know, an Afro-Latina.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, even though it's like, so literally dumb. There are no stakes and like the school is not known for its dramatic arts and like no one's an agent in the audience. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do,
no one's winning an award for any of this. Like,
yeah,
it is pure imagination. You're having, you know, 12-year-olds playing like 45-year-olds. Like, what?
For
you
sure. Know? For sure. Well, what was your school like? Like,
yeah, I mean, so I went to St. Andrews Elementary School in Pasadena. And so that was co-ed. And then for high school, I went to Immaculate Heart High School. And actually, okay.
Meghan Markle. Down by AFI.
Yeah, right next to AFI. So Meghan Markle was 2 years ahead of me. So we did like plays and musicals together. And I mean, of course, she's a lead because she looks like a lead. And she was very good. Yeah. She looked like a Disney princess, literally, even in high school.
I think she was Canadian. I guess I don't know anything about any of that.
It's all good.
Somehow I've... No, I mean, worries. I genuinely
they met,
she was Canadian.
I think, in Canada. I think that's like part of their story.
I guess that's all it took. I heard the one word Canada and immediately just like applied that to her entire life. I'm an
idiot. I believe they met at like some philanthropic like event in Canada or something.
My life is just full of these, of me being like, Harry Styles, now he's a magician? Like, just, there's a lot of that. Yeah. Okay, got
it. But like, yeah, and in high school, you know, it's like a weird thing where it's like we had a comedy sports team and like I auditioned for that and I didn't get in. And it's like, OK, but it's just a bunch of white girls. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a thing where it's like they're, you know, now in hindsight, I can like identify it as like, OK, there's some weird, you know, things going on.
Sure.
Racism. You know, about what people can and can't do. Or should and shouldn't do. And
which, by the way, let's just acknowledge, me hearing you describe a comedy sports team as being full of women, and I understand that Immaculate Heart is right.
It's an all-girls high school, yeah.
So I'm curious, so two things that I want to put a pin in is, like, how were the plays cast, period? Is it, were, you know, it's not like they were shuttling in dudes, I assume.
Well, so for the male parts, they would, and, like, kind of all the, like, Catholic, like high schools that were single sex would do it where they would open the auditions up. So they would have like days where like the guys could audition.
Okay.
Like I auditioned for a play at like St. Francis. They were doing West Side Story.
Okay. Which, I mean, if ever there's a one play that ideally you would get cast in. Did you get cast in it?
No.
Okay, fuck that. Fuck them. Fuck that. Fuck everyone till the end of time. Okay. But anyway, I was just going to say, so the theater sports thing, like hearing that there's even women in it at all, for me, because I didn't go to an all-girl school, I'm like, they had women in comedy sports?
That's
because
so
my
wild.
Experience is just like white boys, you know? It's just a bunch of white boys. So
yeah,
I'm like,
no.
Maybe one like guy of diversity who's like the brave one who grew up around white kids anyway, who's like, I'm comfortable in this setting, you know? So in my mind, I'm still like, oh my God, like how fucking awful for you. But like, wow. So even, you know, like the girls get a comedy sports thing and their immediate move is to then turn on other people who aren't white women.
Yeah,
like, okay,
it was
cool.
Really, it was like so bizarre where it was like, I mean, you guys do realize like everyone thinks you're losers, but whatever. Like,
yeah.
No, but yeah, I mean, so things like that where it's like, okay, you know, whatever. So I was, you know, always like background extra, you know, it's like you walk across the stage and say a line, maybe kind of energy. So also too, it's like growing up in LA, like my sister went to LOXA, LA County High School for the Arts. So it's like, I knew of like other, like, you know, the Olsen twins went to, like, Campbell Hall. Like, there are other, like, we knew, like, where the Disney kids went to high school and stuff like that. So it's like, we know there are other people our age who are seriously pursuing this. And, like, sure, that is, like, a real job.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and, like, you know, their dedication and training for that is, like, serious. So it's like, yeah, no, this is just for fun. Like, right. I would, you know, like, I'm not going to go to college for acting. Like, that would make no sense because, like, yeah, I'm not even doing it now. So yeah, it was just like, oh, okay, you know, that's just a for fun thing. And so, I mean, I'm still, like, obviously, like, interested in the arts. So, like, I would still, like, go to plays, go to musicals, you know, go see, like, when I was at San Francisco State, my first class was, like, ballet. My first college class was ballet class. You know what I mean? So it's, like, I was still, like, interested in that. But it was just, like, oh, it's for fun. You know, sure, it's, like, an extracurricular thing.
Yep.
So when I started stand-up, it's, like, my best friend Madison was doing, like, theater. She'd gone to, like, conservatory in, like, London and was back doing black box theater in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Which, like, girl, what? So confused. But her roommate was a stand-up. And so we, like, we were going to, like, you know, his comedy shows. And then I was just like, girl, he's not funny. I'm funny. We're funny. How do we do comedy? Let's do stand-up.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Her Majesty served Great Britain and the Commonwealth loyally for over 70 years. And while, of course, we feel a profound sadness, we must remember she lived a long life and died in such a way that I think many of us would want for ourselves. She was at home, surrounded by her family. And, of course, she was listening to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast, and you can find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talk about representation in terms of, like, wanting to, like how inspiring it is and needs to be and can be to see people who are like us doing well a thing that we didn't ever give ourselves the, you know, time of day to do, which is so, so, so key. But there is something to be said for going and seeing someone do something poorly and being like, wait a minute.
For sure. Like, yeah.
Actually, no, anyone might.
Anytime I meet, like, a woman who's like, I want to do stand-up and I'm scared, I'm like, girl, just go to an open mic and watch. You won't be scared.
Uh-huh.
Like, you'll see so much bad comedy and it's like,
yeah,
you'll be better than that.
Yeah. That's such a good attitude, though, because I feel like I would tend, especially as a younger person, I would tend to be more like, oh, I recognize this as not funny, but that person probably thinks they're funny. Therefore, I think I'm funny. Therefore, I'm not funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would find a way to take their unfunniness and apply it to myself. Like, oh, shit, they're on stage because they think they're funny, but I know they're not funny. Therefore, if I think I'm funny, I'll be just like that person. And I'll be up there thinking I'm funny. And everyone else will be like, you're not funny. You're like, oh, okay, like, I'm probably also misguided because this person must think they're funny if they're going on stage. You know what I mean?
You fix it. You fix where the funny should be.
Yeah.
And if you can fix where the funny should be, then you're funny.
Yeah.
Like,
that's great.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's not funny, but this version of that would be funny.
Yeah.
You're funny.
But that's great. Like, that's a great, like, anybody listening right now, again, I don't know how many times I have to tell you this in my podcast, do not be like me. Be like my guests. Like, give yourself permission to be the funny one in the room and not worry that, like, I think it's the empathy thing, maybe. I don't know. Like, empathy can get in your way where you're like, oh, I feel so bad for that person.
Oh,
I'll probably be that person. Good for you. It only goes so far, you know?
No,
it's like, why or why?
And maybe, like, I'm like, I don't know. I think it's just like, open mics, especially in Los Angeles, are truly, like, soul-crushing. They are hours. They are just hours and hours of sitting around and waiting. And there are some really great, really talented, really funny people. And there are people that are dicking around, Like, you have 3 minutes. Literally, yeah. You don't know what to say in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
They get up there, I don't know what to say. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Just like, and it's like, you're wasting all of our time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, be funny. Tell yeah. a joke. Yeah. Write a joke.
For sure.
You've had 3 hours to do that, at least, since you've yeah. been here, since you've signed yeah. up for this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, no one's forcing you on stage. No one's holding a gun to your head and saying you have to do this. And like,
for sure.
I guess the thing is, it's like, I get, you know, like some, you know, not everyone's going to be funny right away. And you have to, it's a skill. You have to work on it. Like, you have to try, like, you know, like you learn more in like doing poorly than like succeeding, all yeah. that stuff. But like, I think like, I just don't, I'm like, I'm like, quit.
No, I know. No, but I mean, like, I get
make
it.
The line shorter. I'm yeah, like, yeah, if you're yeah, not yeah, funny yeah, yeah, yeah. and it's not bringing you joy and you're not yeah. doing well at it 1,000%. And you're not, and like,
no,
quit,
you're
please.
So right. You're so
spare
right.
Spare yourself, spare us.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, you're so right in that, like, they're like, this is not a place or time to like get sympathy laughs or like that's not gonna you
but
serve
that's,
you
yeah, that's not gonna serve you.
You're gonna, and you're never gonna get better is. And you're never gonna work. And so, like, what's the point? Like,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, so I guess it's a different situation if you're like, you know, a person doing community theater in a small town, and whether you're great or not doesn't really matter because it's like just as much a part of the community spirit of like doing something fun together than it is yeah. like you are in a working industry town
this where
is
people
like,
are trying to work on their crafts so that they can
for
you know
sure.
go to the next level and yeah, and
for
I think
sure.
that's what it is that like. You know, you know, it's like, is this a hobby? Do you really want this to be a career? What are you like trying to do with this? And it's yeah. like, it's like, come on, hurry up.
Yeah.
Put no, up or right. get out the way.
No, you're totally right. You're totally right. What took you up to San Francisco? Like, what made you choose SF State? I say as a person who also moved to San Francisco to go to SF State. So
yeah, no, I went to San Francisco State because it was the farthest school from Los Angeles that I got into.
Yeah, that's why at first my first school was I had to
Francisco.
Stay in state. Dude, I feel you. I lived in Tucson and I had to go like as far away as possible. So I went to Northern Arizona. You went to Northern California. Mwah, perfect. Mm-hmm. Totally get it. Your GPA
yeah.
was not great.
My GPA was not great, but my SAT scores were very good. And so like for within California, like UCs were out, but state schools like
get
Cal State systems were in. Yeah,
for sure. Why were your grades not amazing? I mean, obviously, if you tested well and all that kind of stuff, were you one of those kids who's like, yeah, dude, I know I'm smart already. And like, if this is not a fun, great class, like if you're not showing up for it, teach, I'm not probably going to show up for it. Or like, what
I don't know
going
if
on
my
there?
Teachers weren't showing up for it. I think actually I did really like my political science and like my existentialism class.
Existentialism.
It wasn't I called it my existentialism class, but it was like, it was our philosophy class. It was nice. We got to read like The Little Prince and shit.
Sure, sure.
But I think it was, I was super depressed. Number one, very depressed in high school. Did not.
Brain chemistry stuff, life stuff, both?
Both.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like in the excavating of like my life and stuff like that I've been doing like in the pandemic and stuff. I definitely was depressed in like elementary school and that just like carried over. Like I just yeah. like didn't fit in. In the like educational culture that I was in, because like I had gone to Montessori school until like second grade. And so in third grade, I went to St. Andrews and it was just very different. From
yeah, that
Montessori
seems like a rude
school.
Awakening.
It was
yeah.
a big rude awakening. And so I just like wasn't prepared for that. And like it was pretty miserable. And like also was like, being beat up, I like kind of remember. I was like, oh yeah, I was sure was like beat up by some of the girls, so that's cool. Yeah. So
I still have a claw mark scar on my shoulder from when I got clawed by a bully. Like,
wait, like
nails
are like with? Oh my god.
Yeah,
oh my
yeah.
God.
I mean, whatever nails you have when you're in it was either fourth, fifth, or sixth grade because that's like yeah. one. That's the ones you know. I went yeah. from this to this to this, so it was somewhere in there. But like, yeah, we just like. I don't know how you even maintain nails that claw that deeply into your shoulder, but somehow it happened.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I went to like Immaculate Heart And I think things were like okay the first year. And then I get, you know, things just, I think, you know, the first year it's like you're hyped up on like, oh, we're new and it's a new school and blah, blah, blah and stuff. And then like all the like the dust settled, right? The cliques form, everyone knows where their place is. And yeah, I kind of got lost in not really knowing where I belonged.
Is that a school, if you don't mind my asking, is that like affluent private school or is it like you can like there's all different levels of like socioeconomics who go it's to like, Immaculate Heart?
I mean, like it's affluent enough. Like it's there's levels for sure. But like the popular girls weren't really like the richest girls. If
Got
that
it.
Makes sense.
It does make sense.
Like the richest girls were the drug addicts straight up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like they were the ones on coke and like heroin. Like,
yep, I get it.
So, but it was definitely, you know, a lot of like Mercedes and, you know, Escalades and like the in the parking lot and stuff. But there were like also girls on scholarship, you know.
Got it.
It was like in the like and also, too, I guess, because like you like had to wear like a uniform. It wasn't really like you're not super seeing anyone's wealth like that much, you know.
Sure.
It's like. Because we all also had to wear like all white shoes. So it's not like you could, you know.
Yeah. There's a limit to like how much bling you're going to bring to the table.
Yeah. It's like, okay, people are wearing like the Tiffany necklace or the bracelet or like having like a really cute purse. But it's like, you know, it was also like late 90s, early 2000s. Like no one was really rocking anything more than a Coach purse. Do
right.
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like no
That's
one
was
true. Like,
Coach
it was like
the
before like.
Then. Yeah.
Gucci and
yeah.
Like the Fendi spy bag or something like that. It was like kind of before that really became like a moment, like even with designer
yep.
sunglasses, like the Dior glossies, like it was kind of, it was like leading up to that, but like right before that. So it's like, okay, Kate Spade and like Coach,
yes.
it's like, yes, that is extravagant
so
for a high schooler, but it's like also not like bling, bling $1,000 purses.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. So what are the popular girls? So like, what was it? What made the popular girls pop? I mean, obviously, I'm not saying like riches are supposed to, but what was the attitude? And like, do you have a sense of like this group of girls was they were just extremely confident or like, no, they were the super artsy ones or like how did they gel, do you think?
Yeah, no, that's like interesting. Well, I think like the Filipino girls were really popular. It was like a large Filipino. Mostly it was like large Filipino Asian population and then a lot of white girls and then black and Latina. But I think like less Latinas than black people or black girls. So I don't know. I'm trying to, it was like, what made them popular?
And like, you don't even need to have an answer. It's almost like that's the philosophy class of today is like, why were they popular? What does any of it mean? Oh
yeah.
my God.
I don't know. I think they were popular because it seemed like they like had a life, if that makes sense. Like a life outside of school and not in like a do. Like they were like, we are fun and we have fun on the weekends and we do fun things. And then you're going to hear about it, about all the fun we're having. Do you know what I mean?
Does
that make sense?
God, it just sounds so hard to go to a high school in like, and I'm, obviously, there's so much more going on in LA than show business, 1,000 other things, you know, obviously. But to be adjacent to that in going to a school where people had money or maybe their parents, there was a decent chance if you had money, it might be because your parents are in show business or something like that. It seems so intimidating to me. Like, I needed to be in Tucson, Arizona as a teenager. Like, I needed to be in a small town, you know what I mean? Like, a small city that had nothing to do with any of that. When I think about like how I feel, it's one of the reasons I started a podcast here. When I think about how Los Angeles made me feel when I first moved here, how I allowed show business to, you know, allowed it to make me feel a certain way. I'm like, oh my God, like what if I had been interested in acting and I was from LA when I was 16 years old? Like who knows what kind of shit I would have got into, you know?
Well, I think a lot of it is like, growing up in LA, it's like, yes, the entertainment industry is like a huge part of it, but it's like There's also like people who have nothing to do with it and are very successful. You know what I mean? There's lawyers who are not entertainment lawyers. There's doctors who like don't treat celebs. There's like a whole infrastructure of like, you know what I mean? Like it's a whole city that operates where, okay, yeah, you may know someone who like is tangentially attached to the industry, but like a lot of people just don't. Like do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay. Like, I know that, like, you know, the Olsen twins go to Campbell Hall or whatever, but it's like, I don't go to Campbell Hall. I don't really have friends. Like, it doesn't affect my life. Do you know?
Yeah, I think it was and when you said the thing about the Disney, like, people go to this school because they're serious about it now, and like our Disney kids and stuff, that that was the part of me that was like, oh, God, that's so intense.
Sure. Like, no, you know. I mean, but that was like Disney kids got to go to school somewhere, right? Uh-huh. I mean, but it's like they weren't going to Immaculate Heart. They were going to, like, you know, like, it's the kind of thing of it's like, Loxa, you have to audition to get in. And so it's like a lot of like people whose parents are like producers or like actually in the industry. It's like the Fame School in LA. Like they are going to this school that literally is a free school, a free public education. but they are the people who like have been able to invest in the training for their child since their child could like walk or talk. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So it's like, okay, we got that. But then, you know, also there's like Crossroads on the West Side. That's where all the celebrity spawn goes to school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's like, again, that was like, those are extreme examples.
Yeah.
And like, unless you like truly know someone there, like, and granted, this was again, late 90s, early 2000s. We didn't have like the really rich girls had cell phones, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Nokia brick. Yeah. So it's like, it doesn't affect, like, it just, like, it's the industry really was not a part of like, in my school at least, like, it had nothing to do with that. Like,
yeah.
There was like one girl who was like low-key a pop star in Asia, but it was like, you're a pop star in Asia and like
that means
we've heard of it,
this.
But like you're not a pop star here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally.
And like we also had a girl who like left to go to Loxa and couldn't cut it and came back. And like that's embarrassing, girl. Do you know what I mean? Like that's really great that you were top of the food chain here, but wait till you go to there and so
speaking of rude awakenings.
It's just like it wasn't I think it's just like growing up here, it's like everyone knows someone who's kind of like, you know, it's like no one's pressed about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, totally. I remember Randall Park was on the podcast, I guess last summer, but and he was I really enjoyed like hearing about him being, you know, a little kid like riding his bike past the Sony lot and being like,
You know, it's like a thing.
This means nothing to me. Like that's totally. And just feeling completely separate from it.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
You're in a theater, the lights go down. You're about to get swept up by the characters and all their little details and interpersonal dramas. You look at them and think, that person is so obviously in love with their best friend. Wait, am I in love with my best friend? That character's mom is so overbearing. Why doesn't she just stand up to her? Oh God, do I need to stand up to my own mother? If you've ever recognized yourself in a movie, then join me, Jordan Cruciola, for the podcast Feeling Seen. We've talked to author Susan Orlean on realizing her own marriage was falling apart after watching Adaptation, an adaptation of her own work, and comedian Hari Kondabolu on why Harold and Kumar was a depressingly important movie for Southeast Asians. So join me every Thursday for the Feeling Seen podcast here on Maximum Fun.
Woman, I got to get into this MASH game with you before I conclude this podcast, because I got to invent this alternate universe, beautiful life for you based on things you love. So
I'm so excited.
I'm going to give you some categories.
Okay.
Let's start with three movies, because I started thinking about high school movies. You certainly do not have, but once you said Fame, but you certainly do not have to pick anything high school based. But three movies that you can jump into and you're just in that world with those characters. You're not reliving the plot. It's just like a chance to be, just dive into that world. So it could
be Clueless.
Oh my God, yes. Again, no pressure to pick high school movies yet.
Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Oh.
Cruel Intentions.
Oh my God. You didn't have to stray outside of the genre because brilliant. Also, Romy and Michelle, you get a little of both. What a great movie. Ugh, Mira Sorvino.
Incredible. I love the renaissance of Mira Sorvino.
Yes.
It makes me very happy.
It feels like it's one of those things that happens where you are both overjoyed and also curbing the rage at why why there has to be a renaissance at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Let's do this. Let's do three people from show business, living or dead, from any era that you would love to collaborate with on something. Like it could be you guys write a script together, but it could also just be you started a movie, or it could be you directed the film that so-and-so starred in. Whatever you want.
Oh my God.
Three.
Niecy Nash.
Oh, yes. Oh, that feels like it's going to happen. Like,
we love
that
Niecy
feels
Nash.
Like, that feels like it's around the corner. I see that happening for you. Okay.
I mean, Lisa Kudrow. Oh, obsessed with Lisa Kudrow.
Yes.
And oh my God, this is so much pressure. I'm so excited though. I'm like, what? Maya Rudolph.
Great. Great, great, great. All of these feel extremely within reach from my estimation of you. So this is very exciting. Okay, next one, let's do three like sort of life skills that for whatever reason you don't have now that you would love to have in this alternate universe. So it could be like I can take anything apart and put it back together, but it could also be like I speak French or whatever, whatever you want. Three.
Oh, I'm ambidextrous.
Great. That would be great.
And like, that would be very cool. I have photographic memory.
Ooh. Yeah.
I know all about horticulture, right? That's like leaves and like what you can like eat and not eat. And
ooh, that's great. I'm like, putting horticulture and botany.
Oh, yes.
Not sure which one applies more, but
for
I'm putting
sure.
Both in
it's
it.
Like I'm the Black Forager girl, basically.
I love it. Great. Okay. Next category. Let's do three eras in time or even just moments that you get to visit. It could be for a positive reason. It could be like you feel like you need to bear witness to something, but you're in a safety bubble no matter what. So like you're not going to get, you know, like hurt. Punched, you're not going to get, I almost said rabies, like as if rabies was a thing that was going around. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking the grip or the croup or something, but you're also not going to get rabies. Three places that you can sort of visit in a time bubble and you're protected.
Oh my God. I'm visiting F. Scott Fitzgerald and Zelda at one of their parties. In the 20s.
Love it.
I'm
love
definitely
it.
Hanging with them.
Great.
I would like to be in the theater, like the first theater that screened The Exorcist.
Oh my God. I love this so much.
Oh, right? Like my a God. Packed theater where people have never seen anything like
so
this
satisfying.
Before, just losing their minds.
So satisfying. Yes. Yes.
And I would love to be in the audience when Ashley Simpson was caught lip syncing on SNL.
Oh my God. Yes. Your brain just took trips that I am so enamored of, like in such a short period of time. I love that your brain worked that fast. Oh my God. That's amazing. Okay. Beautiful.
They're like, Danielle, would you like to be in the crowd during Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech? You're like, no, I want to see Ashley Simpson hoedown. I want to be in that room where it happens.
I'm here for it. I mean, I love it. I think that's fucking great. Oh, these might be the best answers of that question I've ever asked, that I've ever gotten. Okay. Next one, romance, sexy times, three people. Ooh. They can be characters from something. They can be living or dead. I'm not going to bring them back as corpses. You're going to get them refreshed to where they were when you had a crush on them. Any era, cartoons, book characters, don't care. Three.
Oh, okay. I was never a boy band girl. So that's not, I'm like trying to think, I'm like, what's the teenage crush, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like Taylor Swift has really given us like an alternative view about Jake Gyllenhaal. So that's out, you know, that's out.
Yeah.
And we know too much.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else is like Jake Gyllenhaal era crushes. Ryan Gosling, I would say.
But it's like, I mean, the Barbie hair is really awful, and it's undoing a lot.
Yeah.
But Ryan Gosling, let's go with the classic.
We'll put him in.
We're putting him in.
He's got whatever hair you want him to have. So yeah. Don't even worry about it.
Just peak Ryan Gosling. Peak the Notebook Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
You know?
Gorgeous.
The fox from the Disney Robin Hood.
Oh my God. I knew you were going to say that. Rather, I didn't know you were going to say that. But let me say, first of all, you are not the first person to say that. And it's always like a very, like, I have a little tickle in my head that's like, I wonder if she's a Fox Robin Hood. Because they're rare. They're definitely rare. Don't get me wrong. It's not everybody who says it. It's like once a year someone says it. I actually thought to myself, I was like, she's thinking about this really hard and she's being very true to like, what were my feelings? Like, let me really think about this. And I swear to God, I almost wish I would have said like a cue to myself so I would have proof. I was like, I wonder if she's going to be a Robin. I'm so smug right now. It's gross. It's gross how smug I am. And I love it. And I completely get it.
Oh yeah. No, the fox. I mean.
Rakish.
He
like,
really just flirty. Sly and yeah. just everything you want in a guy.
Yeah.
Just...
yeah. Great. You are joining a very elite group of wonderful women who have said that. I wish I could name them off. I should memorize them and then you'll be part of that canon. Great try. Good luck beating Robin Hood, Fox Robin Hood, but you got one more.
I know.
For you.
It's hard. Okay. Okay, remember on the L Word, there was the tomboy. Oh my God. I know, losing my mind.
The most tomboyish of the original L Word. I think her name's Catherine something. I have a huge crush on her.
Yeah.
But
that was like the first,
sexy.
Like, ooh, ladies.
Yeah, she's very sexy. I'm pretty sure her first name is Catherine, but I'm just going to put L Word Fox.
Yeah.
Just to keep the fox going, the fox motif going.
Foxy. Yeah.
Okay. Next category. Three foods that in this reality, either you feel like you shouldn't eat too much of, or you're allergic to it, or it's something that you had once far, far away that you're like, oh, why can't I ever have that delicious, perfect cookie or that delicious, perfect soup that I had at that one place? Three. And then in this reality, you can have it as much as you want. Snap of your fingers, zero ramifications.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, this parpadelle pasta with duck ragu from Italy. Truly, yes, don't even remember the restaurant. Know that it was in Florence, but it was. Yeah. I've been chasing that ever since.
I love it. And yes.
Ooh, the grilled oysters I had in New Orleans.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Okay.
Had some grilled oysters in New Orleans that are like, to die for, amazing.
Great.
Feel like I've never been able to
get
another taste of that.
That tracks, yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. This is, and you're going to be like, this is so pretentious and annoying, Danielle. Okay,
oh,
so
I can't wait.
Bovel in downtown LA.
Yeah.
They have, and it's a seasonal thing. I don't know if it's still on the menu, but it is like whipped feta with strawberries.
Oh my.
And tomatoes, like heirloom tomatoes, and some sprouted cilantro, and they have burnt harissa on it, and it is truly the most magical.
That sounds
delicious.
May I use the word scrumptious?
It is so fucking good. Like I love like an in-season heirloom tomato and like that dish with the strawberries and the burnt harissa and like the whip. It just is like perfection.
Well, it also sounds like it's sort of it's a huge twist on a thing that we all sort of love, which is like, of course you're going to get the heirloom and like burrata and like some basil, but like, no, it's actually cilantro and whipped feta and heirloom tomatoes. And then we throw some strawberries in there and then the burnt harissa. Like, oh, you figured out a way to like give the same pleasure of a certain type of dish that everyone's like, yeah. I don't even order it anymore because it's on every menu, and like turn it into a whole new thing. That's how I interpret that. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Okay. two last categories. God, I can't. I mean, whatever you get in any of this. Three places in the world that you would love to have another home if we could just teleport you there. You didn't have to worry about, like, the travel.
Oh, okay. Florence, Firenze.
Great.
Would love to have a home in... Oh, in New York. I know that sounds really basic, but that's just practical. We got to be practical sometimes.
Totally makes sense. Love it.
And would love to have another home in... I'm like, would I love to have another home in the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know. I always worry about the Caribbean because I always feel like that, you know, that sense of like, oh God, the like typhoon and the hurricanes and like, no, like same with Puerto Rico.
And
like,
it's like,
no,
maybe
my
I'm getting like very caught up in like the upkeep where it's like, my God, I'm going to have to just be spending so much money on like
you're not
rebuilding
though.
This home.
You're not though. Yeah. Let's give them the gift of like, you know, maybe no disaster befalls any of these places. So
we
love
good. That.
I say go for it. I mean, yeah. Now that okay. I've said all that, I'm like, go for the Caribbean. Why
all right.
not?
And a house
I
in
do
the
love
Caribbean.
Mexico, though. Okay.
I know. All Mexico's right. nice.
Okay. And then final one is three television shows that are no longer on the air that we're going to give you the magical opportunity to either write on or direct on or be a cast member on.
Oh, my God. Living Single.
Perfect.
All That.
Yes.
And Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies. Yeah. I forgot
Gone
about Pushing Daisies.
A yeah. loss because of the WGA strike.
Yes, indeed. It really
it's
was
like
a casualty.
Canceled at the same time Kristen Chenoweth is getting a Golden Globe nomination.
I know. I know. And, you know, nobody did well after that show. Poor Lee Pace got nothing going on. Poor. No, I'm totally kidding. He's
but it was just
massive.
Such a. I was so
it was
excited
lovely.
About that show.
It was
just
lovely
really,
show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those are those, you know, those magical shows where you're like, oh, my God, someone greenlit this, even though it's not like
it's,
anything else. And like,
yeah,
OK, that
truly
can
was
still happen.
Unlike
it can still
else.
Happen.
Yeah.
OK. Give me a word that could help towards describing like your mood when you woke up this morning.
Uh-oh.
Wonderful. Okay, great. All right. So I'm going to do some very serious scientific calculation to tell you what your alternate universe MASH life is going to be.
Oh, my God.
Will you do some mild vamping for me? Will you tell people where they can find you, what they should be checking out?
Oh, sure.
Past, present, future, whatever you want.
Yeah. If you want to see more of me, I know you're just hearing my voice, but if you would love to see my face, you can see me on the second season of Russian Doll, streaming now on Netflix. You can catch me in the latest season of Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO. You can watch my stand-up at Comedy Central on their YouTube channel. And if you want to follow me, oh my God, follow me, like, and engage with my content, perhaps even show up to a show.
Yes.
You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Diva Deluxe, no E at the end. And yeah, just honestly, like if you DM me and you're like, hey, listen to you on the pod. Can I like get free tickets? Yeah, I'll give you free tickets.
Oh
literally,
my God. I love
I'll
that.
Give everyone free tickets. Just like hit me up and say, oh, you want to come to my show?
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Pals, please take advantage of that. When is the last time someone offered you free tickets on this show? Come on. Well, I'll take that moment. I'm sorry I had to berate everyone for a second, but... I feel real good about the outcome of this MASH game.
Oh my God.
What has happened for me in my perception of it is there are some sprinklings of things that sort of connect to each other. Like, let me give you an example. When I had to cross off Romy and Michelle's, I felt like a little death.
Yeah.
Until it turned out that you get to collaborate with Lisa Kudrow on something.
Okay,
and then see. I was like, oh, they're going to make their own showbiz baby. Like, they're going to mm-hmm. do their own thing. Like, that's going to be a beautiful miracle. So while you did get, oh, I'm sorry, Cruel Intentions.
Ooh.
Just get into that little saucy world for a second. That is the movie that you get to jump into. Again, you are collaborating, repeat, are collaborating with Lisa Kudrow. I don't know how your ambidextrousness is going to come into play. I feel like somehow it's going to be taken advantage of, both as a performer and offstage. You definitely are ambidextrous. You also have, what? I'm sorry, a beautiful apartment in Florence. Firenze? Don't mind if I do.
Yeah.
Don't mind if I do. So here's the good news on that. My heart was a little sad when the Firenzian pasta disappeared off the list. But the good news is you now have a home in Florence. So why don't you go ahead and just have that whenever you want it anyway.
I can. And I can have it as often as I want when I visit home.
1,000%. And also you have unlimited access to the whipped feta, the strawberries, the heirloom tomatoes, the burnt harissa. That is a thing that is ready and waiting for you whenever you want it. Snap of your fingers. It's happening.
That makes me so happy. Like, truly, like...
I mean, is
my
this
cheeks
a dish?
Are from yeah. smiling. I'm like, what a life. What a beautiful, bountiful life.
I couldn't agree more. Maybe this is a dish that you need to wow Scott and Zelda with. Maybe you take it back and travel in time. I'm sure it'll keep for your trip back in time to a party with Scott and F. Scott and Zelda. Not
oh, my
bad.
God.
Kind of
yes.
amazing. You also might want to take Ryan Gosling with you there. I don't know. He seems like he could hang.
Okay. I am truly, I'm like, this is, I'm literally going to put all this on my vision board.
Yeah. That is the beauty of the magic of MASH. And by the way, love you on Loving Single. Loving Single.
Yes.
What a joy to treat. That is a real great MASH outcome.
Oh, my God.
I'm so happy. That put me in such a good mood because I love what you love. Danielle, thank you so much for doing the podcast. I'm so glad we did. I feel like I haven't seen you in person since Andy and Naomi's show, which feels both like it was yesterday and like it was like 18 years ago. So that's how time
I know.
Works.
Back in the day, Zelda and F. Scott were there. It was a time.
Right.
It was a place.
We all made merry. It was swinging. It was fantastic. I hope I get to see
Janet,
you again in person.
Thank
I never
you so
go
much
anywhere.
For having me.
So, but this inspires me to go see a show. If you can be bothered to get out, I can be bothered to get out and
go see
do
a
some
show.
Laughing and applauding. Yeah.
Support local comedy. You know,
got to.
Honestly, like I've been having a lot of fun, like at the shows that I'm at, just like seeing. Friends do comedy.
Yay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, comedy is fun and I'm having fun just enjoying seeing what people are working on and
yes.
what they're
yeah.
doing. And it's
absolutely
just, yeah, like it's nice. It's cool that we get to work in a creative industry where we get to see people.
For sure. For
just,
sure.
You know, see how their minds work.
No, 1,000%. I got into the jag where like everything reopened, but it was like, I can only afford to go out when I'm performing. Okay. All right. Everyone, please support and adore Danielle. She's amazing. And I will talk to you next time on the podcast.
Bye.
The show is produced by Julian Burrell and Christian Duenas.
And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi. Remember when we could
save kittens from trees? MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.